Thanks for joining us. This is another segment within Notepad, which is called Pantau Kerajaan Baru, or the observance of the new government. We're going to look into detail with a very close eye in terms of how the government is going to move its administration and form the new landscape for Malaysia. This is, of course, still a holiday period for Malaysia, largely because the new Prime Minister, Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim, Malaysia's 10th Prime Minister, has announced that the 28th of November shall be a public holiday. But that doesn't discount us from having some of the key considerations into what shall be discussed in the weeks or even days to come. Earlier today, we've had the pre-council meeting of the Majlis Raja-Raja, or the Royal Council. And of course, tomorrow we're going to see the Royal Council meet to have their 260th Council of Rulers meeting. So because of this, there's a lot that needs to be unpacked. Joining us on the line from Sabah is Dr. Firdausi Sufian. He is the Senior Lecturer in Political Economy at UiTM Sabah. Dr. Firdausi, the latest data coming in from DOSM, or the Department of Statistics, showed that there was a slight decline in terms of the inflation rate for the month of October, from 4.5% to 4.0%. But a lot of economists are arguing that these numbers are actually being supported by subsidies of the highest degree. We're looking at 80 billion ringgit subsidy that was announced by the previous finance minister, Tunku Datuk Sri Zafrul Aziz. But of course, these numbers could see quite the reality of an increase. Some would even argue at 100 billion ringgit worth of subsidy. Because of this, one would argue that the inflation numbers in Malaysia is artificial. Do you agree or do you subscribe to this kind of views, Dr. Firdausi?
Yeah, thank you so much, Ibrahim. So if you look at it, yeah, the subsidy have been the instrumental actually to bring down prices. But the very expensive costs, just imagine 80 billion just to reduce or maintain the subsidy, maintain our inflation. Yeah, but as much as we try to use subsidy to stabilize prices, but in the end of the day, what we witnessed today, you know, Ibrahim and you and I, we felt that the price, for instance, like chicken, have never gone down, actually. Yes, it's not just chicken and other things as well. So so worth it or not to have this this 80 billion, yeah? So if you look at other region as well, of course, if you look at the data from the DOSM, yeah, it says that, you know, Malaysia inflation rate is still, you know, still relatively low, you know, compared to Philippines, South Korea, and other Asian region. Now, the key question here is that, hang on, before that, like, you know, whether it's artificial or not, well, yes, because, you know, it's highly subsidized, you know, so, and that the subsidy is 80 billion, that is a lot of money, imagine that. 80 billion is equal to the emolument for the civil servant, right? So it is a lot of money, right? So if you look at it, where to how we want to rationalize, or, you know, we try to reduce subsidies, that of course a lot of people were talking about, you know, they try to have a targeted subsidy. Yeah, so targeted subsidy is something you know, it is something good, actually, if you want to try to look at it and how to rationalize subsidy, and at the same time try to target subsidy at a specific category of those items. But it's not that easy to do that, because it's very complex, right? It's so complex. Well, let's just give you an example, yeah? So for instance, this is a classroom argument, right? So they say that, look, we should not give subsidy to the rich people. The T20 shouldn't have subsidy. For instance, like petrol, or rice, for instance, yeah? So you shouldn't have subsidy because you are rich, you earn a lot of money, so therefore you can pay the you know, the market price. But the key question is that how you want to do it, right? Number one. Number two, the rich would argue that, look, I pay a lot of tax as well, so why not? I mean, I should enjoy this subsidy as too, because I contribute to the country. Of course, the M40 and B40, of course they should enjoy that subsidies. Yeah, so it's not it is something which is very complex and very difficult to do this targeted subsidy. But of course, there are ways, for instance, that might probably we can think about. Yeah, so For instance, you know, we have RON 97 and RON 95, right? So that one, you know, RON 97, the rich will, of course, usually the one with T20 with, you know, special category of cars might probably need that, right? But most of us will go for RON 95. Now, targeted subsidy, whether we can do that or not, I say it's difficult. Number one, is complex. You need a lot of data. It's not easy. How you want to target people. So subsidy, which is technically is usually is politically good, but economically bad, right? Because it is good for politics, because you know the government is like helping people, you know, very generous in helping people with 80 billion ringgit. And if you look at for the past 20 years, we spent around 485 billion. That's a lot of money just to give subsidy and social assistance. Yeah, that's a lot of money, right? Now, economically bad, because in the end of the day, who will finance this subsidy in the end of the day, right? So it is the, of course, government will pay for this subsidy. Where the government's money come from, right? So if they cannot finance it anymore, then who will finance it? Then they will pass the buck to the people. They will pass the buck through maybe tax. So now we have SST, which, you know, SST is around, what, 27 billion that we collected. GST, on the other hand, is double, close to double, which is around 44 billion. Right? So in the end of the day, when you keep on continuing giving subsidy, all right, it looks nice. It looks nice on the politician, right? But in the end of the day, who will pay it in the long run, right? So my probably, you know, now we don't feel it. Maybe in the next 5-7 years, you will reintroduce GST, maybe, right? So now, targeted subsidy, for instance, especially for food, yeah. We have to look into the chain, the supply chain of food, right? So subsidy, if you give a blanket subsidy, for instance, like chicken, you shouldn't sell more than 10 ringgit, or 8 ringgit plus. Yeah, you cannot sell more than that. But at the same time, you know, the production chain, all right, you didn't do much about it, okay? So if it's 8 ringgit, but the chicken feed, the chicken feed stock, chicken feed, and then you know, other production chain continue to increase in price, then it doesn't give incentive for people to actually expand their business, right? So when you don't give incentive to expand their business, then we will continue to have shortage of food, right? So now, if you try not to give a blanket subsidy at ringgit plus, but if you look at the category, I know this is very complex. It's not easy. It's not one day we can unpack all this, how to do this, because you really have to sit down and look at it, which part of the subsidy, which part of the chain that you should subsidize. Now, for instance, if you subsidize electricity, that's good, right? Because that one is very, it has a knock-on effect if you don't subsidize it, right? So, and then second, might probably subsidy for chicken feed, right? And then subsidy for perhaps transportation, right? So this one, but at the same time, we try not to put a ceiling, a blanket ceiling in the long run, okay, to cap the price. Otherwise, you will continue to have insufficient supply, and the government will continue to pump in money because they do have political consideration for themselves, because price never go down. And they say that they want to bring it down, so but the price didn't go down because of this wicked problem. I would say this is a wicked issue. So therefore, you have to properly look at those chain, supply chain, without interfering so much for the market mechanism to adjust price. Yes, right now, we have to admit that, we have to face that the inflation will continue to rise, right? But this does not mean that, okay, we does not mean that we just let it continue to go up, right? But those production chain, we have to look at which part of it we have to subsidize without interfering the market mechanism to adjust the price.
Dr. Firdausi, we also need to understand some of the announcement that is going to be made. We're looking at the Ministry of Finance, the Ministry of Domestic Consumer, and perhaps even how these ministries are going to work together. In fact, whether or not we're going to even have the old setup of ministries. Because of this, do you feel that we're all watching this with bated breath? How do you foresee this thing is going to be planned in the near term, in the days to come?
Yeah, they're going to sit down. Then I think Anwar Ibrahim also said that there'll be, the cabinet will be smaller, all right? And at the same time, it will cut a lot of costs as well, right? So coordination is the key, right? When it comes to reducing all these prices, because it is not just dollar and cents, but it's also how you coordinate, how you manage the subsidy actually is the key to reduce prices. Right. So for instance, if you give a subsidy to one segment of category of the chain, then therefore you need a ministry to actually monitor that. Right? Because our problem is that it's always leakages. Right. It's the leakages that actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, I think 2 years ago, one and a half years ago, if I'm not mistaken. So our Auditor General basically have shown the data that, close to 1 billion actually have leaked from all these government purchases, procurement, including subsidies as well, right? So monitoring and monitoring is the key, actually. Because, if you remember, last time when they gave this subsidy for cooking oil, yeah. So a lot of people actually smuggle those oil to other countries like Thailand, in Sabah as well, to Indonesia, yeah. So sitting down together and try to coordinate and enforce at the same time monitor, right? These are the two words that should be in the head of the policymaker, because as much as you spend so much money, but there is no enforcement, no monitoring, clear monitoring, right? In the end of the day, the biggest loser is always the government who spend on money and at the expense of the rakyat, which in the end of the day have to pay the prices.
We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Dr. Firdausi Sufian of UiTM. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Dr. Firdausi of UiTM Sabah. Let's talk into some of the ideas of what would be the urgency items that needs to be dealt with by the Anwar administration. In his first conference as the Prime Minister and the subsequent conference that he addressed the nation on Saturday, he was talking about cost of living, inflation, he's talking about subsidies, and he's also talking about how to increase wages. These are the ideas that we've been talking about for the longest of time. And of course, it's admirable for the administration to try and address these kind of items. However, what we're looking at is into the details of it, one of which is, of course, the emolument payments that needs to be made on an urgent basis. Hopefully, we'll see the emoluments table being billed when the parliamentary sitting is going to take place on the 19th. But more importantly is the mini budget or some sort of budget that needs to be done for 2023. Do you feel that these kind of items are heavy duty items that needs to be discussed at length, Dr. Firdausi? And also, what do you think is going to be done in the near term to mitigate some of the anxiety that's going to persist before we see these kind of items being tabled?
Yeah, I think when Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim said that he's not going to take his own salary, yeah, that one put a lot of pressure to other ministers too. And then, of course, the civil servant been thinking whether or not their bonus will be paid. You know, because before this, the budget, before this, they presented they'll pay a very handsome bonus to the civil servant. So this is what actually play in most people's mind, right? Especially for civil servant. Now, if you look at it, the cost of living, if you want to, because Dato Sri Anwar Ibrahim, I think in his manifesto, the 10 things that he will focus on is the cost of living, yeah? So the cost of living, like I said, cost of living is related with, of course, inflation, right? And at the same time, it's also included key things that we have to discuss is always the salary. Now look, our salary, right? Minimum wage is 1,500 ringgit. Now that is minimum wage. Now if you look at those are formal sector. Now if you go to the informal sector, can you imagine actually how much they're being paid? Yeah. So you know, in Sabah there's so many informal worker. So just imagine how much actually they are being paid. Now, the key to beat all this cost of living is always to have a higher salary. Look, we have been, our salary have been like that for a very long time, right? So we can't depend on such a salary given such inflation on the rise. So to increase our salary, so this is where the government have to play a major role here, which is to have, which is the supply side of the economy, where you need to be a market friendly for investor to come in. Number one, well, it's good that you know now we see that you know our share prices in KLSC have gone up, and then our ringgit are quite strong for now after the election, right? So all these are good signs. So, but at the same time, we also have to bring in investor that will bring a mid high end value activities, because if we keep on depending on low value added activity, so the pay will be very low as well. Then the pay is very low, then therefore salary will be like that for the past 20 years. So what we need is that is to increase the salary. Now to increase the salary, of course, now a lot of investors will say that, no, you cannot increase salary right now because of the cost of production is very expensive, right? But how long are we going to argue like this? We have to trust our people that we do have, right? A skilled worker that can contribute, that can produce better production. We have to trust that first. Right, we cannot think that Malaysian still mid value added activity. We have to trust our people that we can produce, right? We can we do have skilled worker. So this is now we have we just set up a new government, so hopefully this one will give a good light in the end of the tunnel for us to increase our salary. Because if we don't increase our salary, then inflation will continue to rise.
Yeah.
If it continues to rise, then we continue to talk about subsidy. Then we continue to discuss subsidy, targeted subsidy, which is a long argument until today. Right? It won't solve any issue if salary continue to be like this. Right? Now, I'll give you an example in Sabah. Yeah? The salary after COVID-19, the deficit growth rate is 9%. Can you imagine that for individual salary? But even though, if you look at the inflation rate in Sabah, is just 2.8%, right? But in Sabah, things are already expensive, right? So increase of 2.8% means is an increase higher, right? But salary, right, deficit -9%. So then people will continue, okay, the government have to do something about it, you have to give subsidy about it. And again, the government will use the same argument. They will use the fiscal policy as a good politics, you know, to give, candy, right, for the people. Again, at the expense of the government money, right? So it doesn't solve the issue. You have to increase salary, increase the minimum wage. I know it's tough right now because we are instilled in the recovery process, but it has to set the tone that we have to increase our salary. First, we have to trust our people. We have to trust our graduate. Right? We have to trust the skill that we can produce. But at the same time, we have to strengthen our upskilling. Right? Now, I think PH government talk about TVET. Yeah? So TVET is a very important sector, to help actually to upskill. Right? So this one actually can help people to increase their salary because the skill set that they're given, you know, they can improve their skill set. So this is good, right? This is good for the country. So therefore, like I said, you know, if you continue focusing on inflation subsidy, we are fighting a losing battle if we don't increase our salary.
Okay, one more short break before we conclude our conversation with Dr. Firdausi. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on with us. I have with me Dr. Firdausi of UiTM Sabah. Dr. Firdausi, what are the quick reactions on the folks in Sabah right now? Are they optimistic? Are they trying to gauge more understanding into the possibility of GRS and Warisan working together at the national level or the federal level? What's the mood like?
It's a very complex mood. All right, it's difficult to discern because like this, GRS is part of Bersatu. Bersatu now in federal government is opposition. And then STAR is part of Perikatan Nasional. But, you know, they already make a decision. They say that they're going to set apart from Perikatan Nasional. And then after that, you have SAPP with small party. But, you know, they didn't win any election. They didn't contest an election anyway. But they are still in, still with PN, but it's in GRS Sabah. But GRS Sabah is with PH government. So it's very complex actually to discern how things going to be. Yeah. So this is what people actually try to understand, how they're gonna position themselves. All right. So it's just like in a war, you know, the German fighting the British, but the German in England is backing the British. So they're basically two in one. But anyway, whatever it is, number one, the state, Sabah state can never be opposition. We went through that. Number one, back in the 80s, you know, economic development slowed down, like really. Because we have to admit that the federal government, you know, their muscle, the moment when they flex it, all right, it will put a lot of strain on the state government. Number two, you know, remember just 2 years ago when we had our state election, it is something like that too, when the Warisan government suddenly become opposition and we become opposition state for a while. And then what happened? At that time, we don't have anti-hopping law. So Atun actually hoped to support Barisan Nasional. Now, the mood here is that in Sabah, yeah, in the end of the day, if you look at Sabah economy, because the people are not ignorant right now, all right? People actually know because of flow of information. They know Sabah is rich. You know, we contribute 42% of the petroleum to the country. 46.7% of the palm oil come from Sabah, and then more, right? All the resources, just name it, most of it come from Sabah, including timber and others. Agriculture produce, yeah. So they know the country is rich, right? And then recently, the state government say that this government budget is 5.1 billion. That's the first time they reached the 5 billion mark, yeah. So because 4 point plus billion. So they know it's rich. They know a lot of money, but problem is that it's always how you want to develop the economy.
Yeah.
The problem that is always why am I still, my salary is not comparable to Peninsula? Why I still, my children have to go to Peninsula to get a job? But when you're here, so this is always the question, number one. Number two, things are expensive here, especially food. That is the third largest import in Sabah.
Yeah.
So these are the things that, you know, salary, salary is an issue. Salary in the past 20 years is always an issue in Sabah.
Yeah.
So this is what we have to focus on.
Okay, Dr. Firdausi, there's still plenty of items to be unpacked. In fact, I'd like to invite you back on my show later in the week when we have further developments. But for now, we have to conclude this conversation. That was Datuk Firdausi Sufian. He is, of course, a senior lecturer in political economy in UiTM Sabah. Good friend of mine, actually. So, Dr. Firdausi, again, congratulations on having a new government. Congratulations again for having a new prime minister. We're going to see a lot of developments there. Indeed, it is a very, I guess, complicated time, not just for federal Malaysia, but of course, Sabah has itself when Warisan, GPS and many more are now part of the federal government, but not so at the state level. So yes, we're going to see how the developments are there as well. That was our show when it comes to Pantau Kerajaan Baru or the monitoring of the new government on Notepad. We're going to bring you all the kind of activities and updates there as well. Until then, thanks very much for watching. Continue on to stay with us on Astro Awani. My name is Ibrahim Sani. Have a good day, everyone.